Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Here I am on a very warm and very pretty day out here in a beautiful state of New Jersey, driving around, and thought I might talk a little bit about sports. It's just me this time on this episode. We had a wonderful time, Memorial Day, hanging out and talking, but today it's just me. And what we're talking about is, well, a lot of big news stories in the world of sports. I think the biggest one that happened just recently is, of course, American Pharoah's Triple Crown win at the Belmont, at Belmont Stakes. It was quite an exciting run. American Pharoah had it out early, pretty much led from the beginning, and into history he ran. Just a very exciting time. No, it did not compare exactly to Secretariat's win. It was an absurd, 13 lengths. It was only a five-length win, five-and-a-half lengths, if I believe I remember correctly. But still, quite a decisive win for American Pharoah and the whole team behind him. So that was a big, big deal. And a lot of people, I think, were very happy that they finally saw it. 37 years before, since affirmed in 79, or 78, I believe. Everybody was talking about that. I always look at trends, and I looked at prior to affirmed, of course, Seattle SLU was the year before, and then in 73 was Secretariat. Prior to Secretariat, it had been a 24-year gap. So it went a 24-year gap, then three in I think 5 years, and then 37 years. So what you're going to see, the next Triple Crown winner is either going to happen within the next 5 years or in the next 50 years. That's just how it looks like, and it might just happen that way. I don't know. I mean, how long, it was so close for so many other horses, 14 other horses that had come one shy at the Belmont for winning the Triple Crown. Of course, California Chrome the previous year, Smarty Jones, a lot of other horses too that came close, but they just couldn't capture it. So, which makes American Pharoah's win even more special, because this is a horse that actually was able to do it, and under different circumstances. American Pharoah won a very sloppy race at the Preakness, very rainy, very muddy track, and here just won from the beginning, just took the lead and held on to it the whole way. So that was very exciting. I think a lot of people really enjoyed that. In the NBA, right now, this will be recorded on Tuesday afternoon, and so LeBron James and the Cavaliers have taken a split from the Golden State Warriors and Stephen Curry on the road in Oakland. So right now they're tied one game apiece, moving on to Cleveland, where this is going to be a big special time for James in Cleveland. I mean, here he's going back to Cleveland to host the first finals since, what was that, 06? 07? I forget which year. But before he left for Miami. So this is going to be a big deal now that he's in Cleveland. He brought the team back to the finals, and he has them really competing for a possible championship and to end a city drought for Cleveland, and that would be just absolutely special. Not since, I think it was, 61, 62 with the Browns, if you want to even go, because they were in the AAFC before the NFL. So if you want to even go farther back and say that one doesn't count for the Browns, then you can go back to is it 48 with the Indians? So just knowing that a championship, how much it would mean to the city of Cleveland, this is going to be a big deal. And now he's pretty much going to have to do it on his own. Cliche, but you could not write it any better, this story, that here's LeBron, He left for Miami. He's coming back. And he brought the team back to the finals in his first year back after winning, what, two titles in Miami? And now he's back in Cleveland. And he pretty much has to do it by himself because the other ones of his big three, the Cleveland big three of Kyrie Irving, who's got a fractured kneecap, or is it broken? I forget which one. But the kneecap is definitely not intact. And then Kevin Love's been out since the third round of the playoffs with a shoulder injury. I think it was a separated shoulder. So he's out. So now it's just LeBron. Yeah, of course, there's J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert and Timothy. It's really is the focus is going to be on LeBron. And this is his team. This is his title to win and his title to lose. And so you just couldn't write any better that here's a guy who left under bad circumstances, came back. He's the savior of the franchise the first time and now the second time around. And I would pretty much, if they're going to win, he has to do it on his own with a smaller cast of sidekicks. But he is showing why he is one of the best in the game currently, in the best in the last since the turn of the century, and arguably very high up there in the history of the league, very high up. I wouldn't say the greatest. You can't say that. And that's in the NBA. In the NHL, Tampa Bay took a 2-1 lead last night, as of this recording. 2-1 lead over Chicago. In Chicago, they took a split in Tampa Bay, and now they're in Chicago. There's a stat out that says, I think, 13 or 18 of straight NBA Finals, the winner of, not NBA Finals, the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. The winner of Game 3 goes on to win the series. I forget if it's 18 Stanley Cup Finals or 13 Stanley Cup Finals in a row where that's happened. But Tampa Bay won Game 3, so right now they're the odds-on favorite. It seems like it's theirs to lose. They are in Chicago. I mean, Chicago cannot take a split of the next two games, I feel. They have to win Game 4 in Chicago. They go back to Tampa Bay. All right, you want to say that it's going to be... I mean, they already won there. Game 1, they've already won there. So it's not impossible for them to go back to Tampa for Game 5 and win that. But you have to figure they're going to at least win one more game. And if they win one more game, which would be Game 4, then they're going to come back for a Game 6. Which they got to win that one too. You cannot lose at home anymore. You've lost one game at home, and that's got to be it. And you have to take one more game on the road. And if that happens, you're the Stanley Cup champions for the Blackhawks. If you're the Lightning, you just have to keep winning. You have to win at home. You can't let Chicago beat you in Tampa. This is stuff you're going to hear 1,000 times over. But just a very exciting series. Actually, both the Stanley Cup Finals and the NBA Finals have been exciting. With the NBA Finals, the first two games both went into overtime. That's just really exciting television. It's on very late. I mean, part of that was that it was in Oakland, in the Warriors' home court. And so that's West Coast time. So that's 9 o'clock when they start those games. And even a basketball game, that's too long. You start it that late. All right. I mean, it was over before midnight, so I'll give it that much, but... Hopefully Cleveland moving the time up will help at least the viewership continue. And speaking of viewership, the NHL Game 2 was actually, it was on Saturday. It was right after the Belmont Stakes. It had the highest rating in X amount of years, which is a really good sign for the NHL and for this series. I thought having Tampa there in the finals would not be good for television ratings, but so far... I've been proven wrong, and I have no problem with that, because I'm enjoying the series, too. I want to see the Blackhawks win, but so long as it's interesting and exciting, it doesn't really matter who's in it. A great point that's been made over the... something similar to that. 1991 World Series, Twins and the Braves. I mean, here are two teams... There were two teams that the previous year had been in last place in their respective divisions, and then they were in first place. They made it to the World Series. Seven games, all exciting games, all within a run, or at least two runs or something like that. Extra innings games, they were exciting games. And so it didn't matter who was in the World Series in 1991. It was just the fact that they were able to keep it interesting and keep it exciting for the average viewers who aren't from Minnesota or Atlanta. And it seems to be a trend, you know, history is repeating itself in a small way with the Stanley Cup Finals in that respect. In baseball, the New York Mets and the New York Yankees both have sole possession of first place. I saw a stat. It's actually the first time since 2006 that both the Yankees and the Mets have been in first place all by themselves, not tied for first, but all by themselves this late in the season. If that's going to keep up, I don't know. The Mets have been very, very lucky that the Nationals have been just faltering, losing 8 out of the last 10 games, something similar to that. Just the Mets have been very lucky that they've been continuing this well, and they've been doing it through their pitching. Bartolo Colon has been pitching very well. He's in amongst the leaders in wins. Jacob deGrom was just named, I believe, NL Player of the Week. He was 2-0 and had like a under 2 ERA. And Harvey's actually, his pitching has been falling off a little bit. Hopefully he can right the ship now into June. But, you know, their pitching has been what's been keeping them up, keeping them afloat. And speaking of the Mets pitching, they actually went to a six-man rotation with Dylan G coming back. And I guess to give Harvey, because he's been complaining about some fatigue in his arm, which when that was first reported, that was absolutely scary. But now you just see that he just needs a little bit less time. He needs more time in between starts. So they decided to go with a six-man rotation, which I was actually excited about, because, I mean, that really, that can freshen up your pitchers a lot. And, you know, I think that can do a lot of good for a lot of franchises. And I honestly thought that that would be sort of the catalyst to start the future of baseball and pitching staffs with a six-man rotation and staying with it. But lo and behold, a couple days later, they decided to abandon that and move Dylan G to the bullpen. So I guess the future of baseball's pitching staffs and six-man rotation will have to wait for a better team and a better pitching staff. The Kansas City Royals and the voting for the All-Star teams. The Kansas City Royals, in their voting for position, have either a Kansas City Royal in first place in the voting or in second place. It's quite humorous to see, but also kind of good to see. Baseball got rid of the paper ballots, so you can't ballot stuff as much as you can at the stadiums. You know, I remember when I was younger, you get the big pile full, and then you lay them flat like 10 stacks, and then you just get a pen or a long, like just a thin stick, and you, like a headphone jack, and you just poke through all 5 or 10 or however many you have there, just all at the same time. So, you know, back then, Mike Piazza, you know you want Mike Piazza, all right, you just poke Mike Piazza all the way through. Or Carlos Beltran, you just poke them all the way through, all that sort of stuff. So they got rid of that, so there's no ballot stuffing. However, I don't know if this has been brought up, but on the website where you now vote for the All-Star teams, you used to have to vote, you used to put in an email address, and then you could only vote 25 times with that email address. I don't know why they got rid of that, because now you can vote for much more than 24 times. It actually doesn't tell you how many times you can vote for with an email address. And then you just keep on voting. I know I voted at least 50 times with my one email address. And, you know, there was never a thing that popped up and said, no, you can't vote anymore. And looking at the tally so far, I mean, it far and away, these Royals players, Perez behind the plate, Hosmer, and Escobar, all these different Royals position players, they have over like 3,000, 4,000 votes. I think in the first go round when they first released the progress of the voting, I believe their catcher Perez, Salvador Perez, he was leading the majors in All-Star votes, which is unheard of, and it's unbelievable. They're good players. Would I say that they should all be starting the All-Star game? I wouldn't necessarily say all of them. Not Eric Hosmer over Miguel Cabrera. I wouldn't say that much. Or even Mark Teixeira. But at the same time, I'm kind of happy. I mean, that the Royals, who have been unsuccessful for the last... going back to the late 80s, very, very early 90s, up until last year when they made the World Series. They only had one winning season over the course of that time. And so to see now that the franchise is sort of revitalized and the fan base is absolutely revitalized, that they are really showing the world how much of a baseball town they are. I mean, they're not even the biggest baseball town in that state, because that's St. Louis. That they got to compete with the Cardinals and all of their successes over, in the 2000s, in the aughts, if you will. And so to see Kansas City really get a lot of their pride back and just put it out there and show it, I think is wonderful. So I'm, for the Mets, I think in the All-Star voting, if we can mention that for a second, it's just going to be pitchers. Three pitchers at the minimum, I feel. Familia for the closer, because he's among the top in saves. I think Colon, his ARA is high, but I think that he should be named. You want to tell me not Bartolo? Okay, fine. Yeah, especially he's been slacking off lately. Harvey or DeGrom. One of those two, or even both. I think that's acceptable, because there's no Mets position player that's going to go to the All-Star team. Daniel Murphy was playing quite well. He was actually swinging a hot stick, but then he got a strained quad, so he's on the DL. So that's going to cool him off. Again, talk about luck for the Mets. The best hitter, Daniel Murphy, goes down, and they've still been able to not only hold on to first place, but get back into first place. Very impressive. A lot of luck involved. But still, there's something, I'm not going to say special, but something of very interesting about the Mets this year. I'm not saying World Series. I'm not saying League Championship Series. I'm not saying any of that. But meaningful games into September is all a Met fan could really want. And but the Yankees as well. I mean, they have been, the Red Sox thought they figured out a solution to the year in, year out stuff. Last year, they sort of took it off. They had won the World Series the previous year. They took 2014 off. And 2015, they came back signing Hanley Ramirez, Pablo Sandoval, all these guys. And it's not working out quite as well. They thought they had an answer to the problem of winning the American League East and winning the World Series and all that stuff. But sadly, it doesn't look like it. So the Yankees have been very lucky that Boston has not been able to live up to their own expectations, that Baltimore has been faltering. However, watch out for them after the All-Star break, because they always kick it into high gear, especially under Buck Showalter. Toronto has been competitive. I think they wanted to be more competitive. So the Yankees so far are holding on. Right now, and rightly so, they are the best team in the American League East. But for how long will that last? We'll see. In the NFL, going to that, you've got the OTAs, the off-season, the organized team activities going on right now. A lot of stuff that you'll hear about right now. Marcus Mariota apparently has not been doing very well with the current. And now it's not like the full playbook, but what they are running, it seems like he's not quite getting a grasp on it. And he's, stuff that I've talked about and I've said, and I believe that him going to the Titans was not a good, that was not a good idea. I honestly believe Tennessee wasted a draft pick. I think they might have been holding out for too much, and that Marcus Mariota should be with the Eagles. You know, Tennessee made the wrong move. They picked Mariota. He's not going to fit their scheme. They're not. I honestly believe that he's not going to fit as their starting quarterback this year, next year, or until they make some sort of drastic offensive coaching change. Somebody who he fits in with. That's just my opinion. I could be totally wrong, and he turns out to be Russell Wilson. If not this year, then next year. But so far, nothing has been pointing and saying, all right, he's going to work. It's just, I don't think it's going to happen. The 49ers keep losing guys, and I just don't mean to free agency. The 49ers lost Anthony Davis, who was an offensive lineman. Their defensive players we've talked about who just retired at young ages. Look, the way that the game and all the research about brain trauma and concussions and all that stuff, you know, I do not blame anybody for wanting to get out of it, no matter how much you're getting paid, no matter how important the stardom is. If you don't feel comfortable playing the game because of what you're worried about in 10, 20 years, how you're going to be as a person, then, of course, give it up. Go for it. But I also feel that, you know, football, it's a bit of a, you know, it's like the gladiators. There are just some people who it's made for, some people who isn't, you know, who doesn't fit for. But there are some who just, this is the game, this is what you were pretty much born to do, so go and do it. But, you know, the ones who are, you know, and they're the ones who are probably still out there, who still want to play, and who might be very lucky with the hits and how they're affected with it when they get older. So, but it's just interesting that they all seem to be coming from San Francisco. Not all the 49er players, of course, but so many of these early retirees or surprise retirement announcements are coming from 49er players. You know, and this is after they lost their head coach Jim Harbaugh to the University of Michigan, after they lost Frank Gore to the Colts, and just a lot of other players moving elsewhere. You know, this is not just an absolutely decimated team. Honestly, from the outside looking in, they don't have much going on. You know, will that change? We'll see. I don't know. And the Women's World Cup, the United States had a big win off over Australia, and they seem to be just moving along. In the Women's World Cup. In the Male World Cup, Bladder. Bladder steps down as the president of FIFA amid scandal. Very interesting. He said he was going to, you know, he got reelected. He said he wasn't going to step down, and then he stepped down. So you got to wonder what they found on him or if some sort of deal got worked out. Doesn't seem like it, or at least not a public one, but. It's just interesting that he won a re-election, and he was very vehement, you know, that he was going to stay on as president, and then he just steps down, which is good. Will it change anything? Doubtful. Absolutely doubtful. But, you know, at least something happened. And, you know, so that's good to see for them. So thank you very much for joining me on Everyman Sports. You can... find us on Twitter, Everyman Sports, on Twitter, at Everyman Sports. We have our phone number there, which at this point I should, it's 626, oh boy, wow, am I really screwing this one up? But go to Twitter, you'll see our phone number, and of course Andrew will tell you all about our other social media that you can find us on. So thank you very much for listening, and take care. Andrew, please, if you will.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.